Good morning. One more announcement. Belinda wrestled me to the ground and wanted to make sure I told you there's no Sunday morning workout next Sunday. So for those of us that attend that, hang out at McDonald's or Starbucks or whatever. Today, it's kind of it was one of those messages that this is going to bother me. I'm sorry. Let me try that. This is one of those messages that it's kind of one of those slow-burning ones. They come, and then you kind of, oh, well, that's kind of a cool idea. And then you just keep getting reminded of it. So today, you're not going to have any scriptures or anything up there unless Dave's really, really fast. I don't think so. It doesn't matter. It's the topic and it's the content. That's what's important. So pay attention today. We're going to talk about readiness. That is something that we talk about often. You know, it's in the armor of God. You know, we're supposed to be shod our feet with readiness. Some verses say preparedness. But it's just something that really is just kind of one of those slow burn things, and we're going to dig into it today. And you can thank me now or later, but it's going to be relatively short in comparison to my usual long-windedness. I always time myself, so I know how long it's supposed to take. So you can go and do your Super Bowl stuff. But today, you know, we've heard many times, you know, we're to wait on the Lord. And there are a lot of people that are waiting on the Lord for desire. Unfortunately, we forget that this waiting on the Lord is not a passive thing. I've talked about this before. I can't let it go, so tough. The idea is that it's an action. It is seeking with expectation. That's what waiting is. And you know, if we're waiting on the Lord for desire, that means that we actually have to engage ourselves. If we're actually looking at the word waiting properly. This desire that is waited for, I'm just going to carry this with me. This desire that is waited for, you know, it may be our calling. It may be to dig deeper into the Word. This desire might be to commune or fellowship with your church body. It might be doing good works. You know, fill in the blank, right? We have been taught in our homes. We've been taught in our churches, we've been taught in our schools that there needs to be a desire to increase in compassion, there needs to be a desire to increase in love, in patience, and our performance or conduct, however you want to look at it. These things they're right things to do, clearly. But I was stirred up about this. We had this discussion in youth recently. I'm sorry, I'm OCD. I couldn't let that lay there. That's going to bother me too. Oh, well, I'll move on. I was stirred up about this in the discussion I had with youth recently because we're looking into the Old Testament and how important it is and that, you know, we need to have, you know, developed a good understanding of what it is, not just what it is, but what it's about, who it's about, what it's pointing to, and so on and so forth. And we're talking about, you know, getting into the Word more and making it part of our daily walk. And it really should be a desire in our heart. And as I thought about it, and I'm going to tell you, I commented this. We have been taught it all backwards. We are waiting for desire to come and the commitment to follow. It is the commitment that brings desire. If we wait for desire to get us to commitment, we will be waiting an awful long time. So we wait for desire to be committed to our endeavors. Desire falls short. How many desires to lose weight every New Year's? How many desires to be independent or self-sufficient? How many desires a lifelong spouse? Statistically, desire is a disaster. simply look at the results. There's statistics, however you want to do it. Go ahead, look for yourself. Desire is a disaster, statistically. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "But now finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability." Finish what? Well, Paul was encouraging them, saying, in faith and speaking and knowledge and earnestness and love in which they were inspired, but also by the desire for this, it must be a demonstration of the ability to do so from the preparations made. It's a long way of saying doers of the word, not just hearers only. In 2 Corinthians, also in chapter 8, verses 78. "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, speaking, knowledge, and in all earnestness, and in the love we inspired in you, see that you also excel in this gracious work. I'm not saying this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love as well." Now I want you to remember that part, the sincerity of your love as well, because we're going to touch on that in a little bit. You know, so we can see that faith, speaking, knowledge, intensity, love, this is the preparation. This is the readiness, and then the proof of it through doing. The ability by way of commitment. Get out of here, stupid thing. So, is there anyone here besides Pastor Jim that's played football in high school? Show of hands. Two of us. Three, four. Okay, more. How about basketball? Volleyball? Tiddlywinks? No. Cheerleading? You get the idea. We all can remember, you know, if you're a football player, as Jim has mentioned before, the two-a-days. They were horrible. But in every sport, there's always that conditioning period before you actually start learning anything. They want to make you throw up before you can actually throw a ball. Nobody desired that part of sports. And if you did, you're sadistic. Okay? Nobody desired that part of sports, though it was a necessary, obviously, it was a necessary part so we could have a productive season. You know, the hope of upcoming victories, the heroism in battle, on the field, court, or on the mat, if you're so inclined to be a wrestler. This is done so that we would have this hope of victory in every season. 2 Timothy 4:2. Now this is a letter to Timothy, obviously. It says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." See, to be ready, as we have heard, the desire to be ready is good. Being ready is another story. Enter here the preparation. How do we do that? We're going to read Ephesians 6, 8 through, or 10 through 18. This is the armor of God. And we know this very well. But here we go. "Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayers and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Now some, if we look in shodding your feet with the preparation of gospel, some, most actual, say with the readiness. I chose the NASB on this one because I liked preparation, because ultimately, hate to break it to you, readiness is preparation. We often think that readiness is, I don't know, like just the desire part. We desire to get smarter. We desire to get deeper in the Word. We desire a closer relationship with God. We desire to make more money, to have a big house, whatever. But that's like when I'm talking with my kids, when I ask them, what's your plan? Those are great ideas, but what's your plan? Well, my plan is to get a really good paying job so I don't have to fix my own toilet. I can pay someone. Okay, no, that's an idea. What's the plan? See, the plan is part of the preparation. We need to know what steps it takes to get us there. See, we get confused between being prepared and being ready. We think ready is just the desire to do it. Really, being ready is being prepared to do it. And that's what we're talking about here, is preparedness, the readiness. So what good is it with all these other attributes of the body or the armor of God if we aren't ready to do something with it? I think the Christian church in America is lethargic. I mean, it makes a sloth look like Usain Bolt. We want to, you know, much like we were talking about earlier, we want to talk about it. We want the knowledge of it. We want all the pomp and all the presence of being a Christian. But yet with all of those things, without that readiness, it's meaningless. That's why it's a big list here. It's not if you do this, you're good, or if you do that, you're good. No, it's all of this and the readiness. Yeah, you can see why this is a slow burn, because I had to look at myself in the mirror as well. Hear me. The preparation is the commitment. Now, I do want to let you know that preparation obviously is not the last word, because as we're covering the book of John right now, and we're in the fifth chapter, and I was reminded from my own words when I going over verse 39 in chapter 5 of John. It says, "You examine the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." See, he's chastising the Jews because they were all about learning. As a matter of fact, they were all about knowing Scripture. They had it memorized front and backwards, and some in many languages. And they thought that knowing them, because they had the Word, that this was going to be their ticket, to the golden ticket. But it was not. See, Jesus also tells them that because they had the Word, that was good, but the Word was not in them. As a matter of fact, he challenged them and says, you don't love God because the Word is not in you. You have it, but it isn't in you. You know all about it. You know all the peripheral, but you haven't really done anything with it other than set yourself up to look cool. I know the Word, right? I wear the clothes. I say the things that need to be said. You know, anyone can paste a scripture on a circumstance, but what are you going to do about it? Jesus walked the earth demonstrating the Word in living color so that we see what that Word looks like in action. I don't recall him ever slapping on mankind just a scripture to solve their ills. Just saying. Now listen, desire is secondary to commitment. Desire does not have all it takes to achieve much. It is the commitment that actually produces desire. Once committed, then comes the preparation. As we know, the more fit we get, if we start learning more, doing more, we actually learn some offense and we learn some defense. That's how it was in sports. You got fit first, then you started learning. When we start to see more and able to do more, it's at this point that there is actually desire. How can you desire something you don't know anything about? Honestly, we know you can't. So the more we're committed to it, the more desire is actually developed because we actually know what we're committing to more and more each day. Does that sound right? Okay. I'll meet with the four of you afterwards and we'll finish this conversation. When we start seeing more, we will desire more. We can begin to taste victory. And who doesn't want that? I know there's two teams today that want it. Whether it's sports or work, or it also applies to our Christian walk. Being prepared is being committed to it. Through the commitment to the discipline, we gain understanding. We see events or circumstance in the correct context. We start to believe more. We start to love more. We start to get more excited about it, about the season that lies before us, the battle, and the hope of victory. Keep that away from the mic. 2 Corinthians 9:2 says, "For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." I love that one. We're excited about Achaia and about his readiness. But you see, what stuck out to me was he was prepared since last year. He's been a year waiting. Talk about readiness. This guy's prepared a year in advance. And now he's going to go out there and he's going to stir him up with his zeal. Because he's fired up for it. If a guy's prepared and he's waiting a year, you think that he doesn't have this anticipation? You think he doesn't have this desire? Now that I got it, I want to share it. Now that I have this calling, I'm going to answer it. I don't know. I think Achaia was obviously exuberant, to say the least. He's mentioned in the Bible. I'm not. As far as faith is concerned, thank you for the giggle. I was waiting for that to settle. As far as faith is concerned, now this is the part that, really bothered me personally, because it never really dawned on me before until preparing for this. As far as faith is concerned, desire does not produce faith. It may contribute to it. It may promote it, but it all starts with commitment, a covenant. There is nothing slack about the commitment God made to his creation, to you and me. His commitment is where the faith we have was conceived. He supplies all of our needs, for one. If we look at Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ." He provides a way of escape. For 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has ever overtaken you, but such as is common to men. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." Victory over death in Acts 2:32. "This Jesus, God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. And also in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God does things for our own good. In Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we, his promise of salvation and eternal life in John 10:27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. See, as we are more and more committed, we learn more about who God is. We learn more about what he is about. And we learn more of his faithfulness. We learn about his promises. As we learn, prepare, and act upon these commitments, this is the birth of our desire. So our faith is conceived in God's faithfulness and who he is, but our actual desire is birthed when we act upon what we know. When we can see progress in ourselves and in those around us, aren't you inspired? We should be. This is the desire that drives us to go further, the desire to go deeper, the desire to go wider than ever before. Point of fact, if you are waiting for desire to be the wind beneath your wings, you will be a spiritual dodo bird, a flightless ground dweller. Now this morning, you pick up nuggets. Pastor Henry mentioned this very simple thing. It's not so much about ability as it is availability. This speaks to readiness. It speaks to readiness in a way that ability comes from availability. Readiness or preparedness. See, there are some that would argue that desire moves you to commitment. And that would be a great retort, except life proves something different. Desire is not enough, however you look at it. Desire may inspire a motivation of sorts, but without commitment, there is little to no chance for success. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. See, desire is a must-needed thing, especially during battles. It is our hearts that we put on display in the heat of it all. The heart, because of our devotion. Commitment is what gets us to that point, where the desire of the heart keeps us in the fight. Much like the difference between waiting and wanting. If you are lending yourself to waiting for desire to happen, bring a chair, pack a lunch. But if you are wanting desire, commit to it. We show how much we want something by how we act on it. This is something I've shared with my kids because they always want stuff, right? Well, how bad do you want it? Your actions determine how bad you want it. That's how I was raised. Don't tell me, show me. Be creative. I'm all the way down here, I'm kidding. I am not trying to diminish the value of desire by any means. On the contrary, I want you all to have it in abundance. However, desire is truly brought about through the endeavor of commitment. That is your choice. Desire is formed in the crucible of commitment. If I could have the music ministry come up, please. I told you it was going to be short. Because I don't want to beat you over the head. You know, you can say the same thing over and over and it just gets monotonous and you want to turn me off. Hopefully you haven't turned me off yet. But I want to look into 2 Corinthians 8:11 one more time. Now that we know about commitment, we know about desire, we know about ability, availability, and it is, I think, important to revisit this verse. But now finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. And I want to read Matthew Henry's commentary on John 5. It says, the Jew considered that eternal life was revealed to them in their scriptures and that they had it. Because they had the word of God in their hands, Jesus urged them to search those scriptures with more diligence and attention. He said, you do search the scriptures and you do well to do so. They did indeed search the scriptures, but it was the view to their own glory. It is possible for men to be very studious in the letter of the scriptures, yet to be a stranger to its powers. Or search the scriptures, and so it was spoken to them in the nature of an appeal. You profess to receive and believe the scripture, let that be the judge. How many times have you heard that? Let scripture judge scripture. It is spoken to us as advising or commanding all Christians to search the scriptures. Not only read them and hear them, but search them, which denotes diligence in examining and studying them. We must search the scriptures for heaven as our great end. For in them, you think you have eternal life. We must search the scriptures for Christ as the new and living way that leads to this end. To this testimony, Christ adds reproof of their unbelief and wickedness, their neglect of him and his doctrine. Also, he reproves their want of the love of God. But there is life with Jesus Christ for poor souls. Many who make a great profession of religion, yet show they want the love of God by their neglect of Christ and contempt of his commandments. It is the love of God in us, the love that is a living, active principle in the heart, which God will accept. They slighted and undervalued Christ because they admired and overvalued themselves. How can those believe who make the praise and applause of men their idol? When Christ and his followers are men wondered at, how can those believe, the utmost of whose ambition is to make a fair show in the flesh? Ouch, Matthew, but true. So in this desire, you got to ask yourself, where is your commitment? Is it all about becoming a better person or more respected in your community? How high up the ladder of religion you can climb? Or is it about the business that God has called to us, which is to glorify him in all that we say and do? Ask yourself. Give me a praise report. I'd love to hear it. Or, if you want me to pray with you, I'll do that too. It's your call. Commitment first. Desire will happen. Through the knowledge of who God is, how could we not pursue his calling? Amen? Amen. Please stand. I would like to encourage everyone to join us in Sunday morning workout. Because this is one of the cool things about preparing for a message is that for me, and I've talked to others, there's a little bit of anxiety because you think you got the Word of God and you still think, is this me, you know? But then you go to Sunday morning workout, and the discussion ends up being so close to what you're going to talk about that day. It's scary. And then you come in here and Angela's prepared music that I don't know if that last song doesn't line up exactly with what I was talking about today. I don't know what exactly looks like then. Too fast for you? I don't know. I'm just saying. Coming to church on Sunday morning is about getting encouraged. It's about getting inspired. It's about letting the Holy Spirit, warm your belly a little bit. Get a fire going. This is not where you're going to get what you need to fight the good fight. This is the encouragement part. Getting into the Word, getting into study, fellowshipping with others in the same studies, and obviously the same faith helps, right? This is where we build ourselves. This is where the commitment comes in. We need to be committed to learning so that then we can demonstrate the readiness, the preparedness to go ahead and fulfill the purpose in which we were created. Because there anyone in here that thinks that there was not a purpose in mind when you were created? Let me tell you, someone's been lying to you. Every single person in here was created with a purpose. I don't care if you were planned by your parents or the accident. You're no accident to God. And we struggle with believing His word, believing in His calling. Here's the reality, folks. God believes 100% in you, or He wouldn't have created you, because He's designed a purpose for you to do. And it's not coming in here, getting your warm fuzzies, and then going out and doing nothing with it. Am I right? Is anyone inspired here this morning? Because, I can run off at the mouth a lot. I'm kind of more like Peter. Pastor's more like the John or Paul that kind of reined me in. But I get fired up. And the sad thing is by the time I get home from here, to be honest, my fired upness is a little diminished because I'm thinking about lunch and a nap. But that's no excuse. I'm here to fire you up this morning, and I want to hear praise reports. If you're silly, I don't care if you like me or not. Come and tell me something good that happened this week. Something that God showed you this week. Even tell me something that you felt was inspired of God and you did nothing with. Tell me those two. Because then I'll share a few of mine with you, and we can be comforted and we can be encouraged from one another, because you know what? We're still in the flesh, and the flesh is weak, though the Spirit is willing. Amen? So let us be encouraged. Let us lean on one another. Let us count on one another, because that is exactly what the body of Christ is called to do. Amen? All right, I'm going to stop. I'm thinking about lunch now that I said it. Let's bow with your heads with me, and I will close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this beautiful day that you have made for us to live in. We thank you, Lord, that we have a place to gather and worship, a gather in fellowship, Lord God, and all the opportunities that we have to dig deep in your word, to demonstrate our commitment, to demonstrate our love for you through our commitment. Father, we pray that you show us what you would have us do in the upcoming week. Not only that we'd be encouraged, Lord God, but you open doors that we are afraid to open ourselves, that we would be exposed to those wonderful purposes that are in your will. Father, we praise you, and we thank you, Lord. We give you the honor and the glory because you are worthy, and we humbly come before you this morning with open hearts, with expectation. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You are dismissed.